beginning with verse 11 through to the end of the chapter. Remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The verse that we read together, the Apostle Paul asks his readers, who are us today, he calls us to action, to do something, to remember. To remember the time past. This is to believers who have embraced the faith and come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and have been baptized and become part of his kingdom and part of his family. To take some time to remember what it was like before we were found by our shepherd, before we found a place in the household of God. And he describes that time with very vivid terms. He says, in time past you were Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. You're outcasts. You're separate from the Jews. At that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. A very bleak picture, and one that is very true, because these individuals, and even we, before we have been found by our shepherd, were lost. And the world was like that sheep that was alone, out on the hills, far away from the shepherd and his fold. Alone, in an unfamiliar place, unfamiliar animals, unfamiliar things. Strangers and foreigners. It's not a good feeling. It's not a good experience to be a stranger and a foreigner. Not to be familiar with the people, the places, the things that are happening. To have no support structure established. It's a big challenge. And Apostle Paul wants the believers to remember what it was like There are those that are still in that state. They need to know how it is that they can find their way. We need to remember what great lengths our Savior went for us to deliver us, and how hopeless we were without Him. And so Apostle Paul uses that backdrop and then explains about what Jesus Christ has done for us to stir up our minds. And even as the brother began the prayer after the reading, that we are humbled by the love of God that we see revealed in the Word. That is what the Apostle Paul is seeking to stir up in the believers' hearts and minds, that we would be humbled by the love of God and how kind and merciful and pitiful He has been to us. Because there's chapters coming up that will explain a high calling of God in Christ Jesus and a life that believers are expected to live. And Apostle Paul is laying the foundation of what God has done for us through Christ and stirring within us a love for God, for what He has done, so that we would also have that first love growing brightly, and that we would read the remainder of the chapters and say, yes, this is what I desire willingly to do for my Lord. To be stirred to a humility for the love and the kindness that God has shown to me. Because it is through Christ that we who sometimes were afar off, we remember the prodigal son who was afar off and was seen by his father, and who he ran to him. We who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're brought near. We're brought close. God desires to have fellowship with His creation, with us, men and women who He's made in His image. But our sin has caused us to go astray, each of and every one of us, to our own way. But He is our peace, because upon Him was laid the iniquity of us all. And God had a people who He had chosen out and called out specially for Him, the Jews. And they had a particular relationship with God, a little bit closer, quite a bit closer than all of the Gentile nations. And so there was this exclusive relationship in the Old Testament patterns for the people of the Jews, and the Gentiles were excluded. But Jesus, in His teaching, has said, "All ye who are weary and heavy laden, come to Me, and you will find rest for your souls." In the temple, there were courts which allowed Jews to go in certain places, but Gentiles were only allowed so far and no further. And then we know in the inner sanctuary that there were separations in the veil in the temple that was rent in twain when Jesus hung on the cross to make a way for us to have access to that mercy seat. But there's also that wall in between the Jews and the Gentiles' courts, and He has broken down that middle wall of partition. He has broken down the middle wall, and He has broken down the inner wall, so that we, as it says here, may have access by one Spirit unto the Father, that both Jews and Gentiles would have that access. He abolished in His flesh the enmity, that exclusivity and that contention and that enmity that existed between Jews and Gentiles. He abolished that. He abolished the law of circumcision and of the dietary restrictions that caused the cultural divides between Jews and Gentiles, so that He would be able to establish one kingdom made up of many flocks that He is bringing together to make in Himself, in Christ, the head, in whom all of His children are brought together, for to make in Himself of twain, of these two separate people at one time, one new man. One new man. Who has new interests and new desires. Desire of the Jew was oftentimes to be exclusive and to put forth all of his energy in showing his superiority to the nations around about. But we read in the New Testament that circumcision and uncircumcision doesn't avail in Christ, but a new creature. We read in another place that circumcision and uncircumcision do not avail, but the keeping of the commandments of God. These are the interests of the new man that he is creating within us. The work of God within the heart of man and making peace. Making peace. Something that the world cannot give to us and that we will never find in this world. The peace of God that he makes. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. There is but one way. There is but one truth, and there is but one life. There is one resurrection and the life, and it is found in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thanks be to God, for we were aliens and strangers from these promises. But he has opened the door. He has shown us the way. And we should be thankful. We can express our thanks now that he gives us life and that he has called us to repentance and forsaking of this world, that he has called us into one body by the cross, one glory, one joy in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, destroying the enmity by the cross. Destroying the power of sin and Satan, and destroying even the divides between nations, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He's made his message known. He's made it very clear. Not a complicated one. But one that has all of the attention and focus upon the one whom all Scripture is pointing to, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. We who were one time strangers can be made part of the household of God, fellow citizens with the saints, no more strangers and no more foreigners. No more strangers, no more foreigners to God. And yet, we learn to be strangers and pilgrims to this world. That's what we're called to a life of faith and not to a life tied down to this world and its values. But we should identify with strangers to understand that this world is not a welcoming place, but to share with others the welcome, the embrace, the opportunity that's made through Jesus Christ to be at one with God and to be part of his family. What a blessing. We read this morning a question about strangers. The two that were walking to Emmaus, they were talking about the things that had happened in Jerusalem at that time. And as they were talking, the Lord came up to them and asked them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, and as ye walk and are sad?" And one of them, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem. Do you know what's going on? Are you familiar? Strangers don't know. They're not aware. And though this passage in Ephesians that is speaking mostly to believers to take on this time of remembrance, there is a message for those who are still outside of Christ, who still are strangers, who do not know His peace, His forgiveness, His Spirit to guide and lead us into the truth, who do not have hope and are without God in the world. Have you ever wondered, is Jesus a stranger to you? Does He know? Is He aware? And does He care? Look into the Scripture to find your answer. We read of the love of God, His love for the world, His love for your soul. He made a way that you can be forgiven, that you can have peace, that you can have a new life and hope. And it came at great cost to Him. He yielded His life for our sake and took that punishment which we justly deserved so that we would be no more strangers. The Word teaches us that He is acquainted with grief. He's a man of sorrows. Do you wonder if Jesus is a stranger to you in your hour of sorrow? When you struggle? When you need help? He has walked every mile. And the Scripture confirms that He was tempted in all points just like you. And He is not a stranger. He knows you better than you realize. The question is, are you a stranger to Him? That will be a very important question for you to deal with. And you may not think that life is short, but it is. And after this, the judgment. Will He be able to say, I never knew you? Did you not take the time to open the heart's door? To let yourself be moved and changed, and for Him to do His work in your life. The stakes are high for your very soul. And many around you are praying, even at this moment, for you to be able to see your condition, to see that you are a lost sheep that is loved but is straying, and without God has no hope for return. Without what Jesus Christ has done, will remain in that dark and lonely place. You are like that lost coin that the Lord is seeking. Do you realize the efforts and the cost that He has spent for you? I urge you, before it is too late, to make a commitment to the Lord, to trust Him as unto a faithful Creator, the keeping of your soul, to give Him of all of your strength, even in the days of your youth, that He might use your best days, and surrender. He is calling both Jew and Gentile, one and all, into His kingdom through faith and repentance. And as I look around, there are not many people who weren't raised in church. And that is somewhat of a risk. There's a risk there of familiarity. And the Jews faced that too. When John the Baptist was preaching, he preached repentance. And the Jews felt, well, we're God's people. We belong. We know what to do. And many rejected his call to repentance. And now you're raised in a Christian home. And you might not feel like these terms of strangers and aliens really has any relevance to you, because I know what church is, and I've been here, and it's not so bad. There is a danger in that thinking that many of us have struggled with, the feeling of entitlement, that we're not strangers. And the response that the Jews had was that we don't need to repent. But John told them, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And don't begin to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Don't begin to say within yourself, I'm close enough. I'm not that much of a stranger. I'm not that much of a foreigner. Besides, I was raised here. You will find no greater joy than serving the Lord, than being part of His family. And I can bear witness and testify that you do not need to go far to find a group of people that will help you and support you when your life gets turned upside down. You don't need to look far. It's at your fingertips. You've been blessed to have been raised in a Christian home. You've been blessed to have had friends that invited you and encouraged you to come to church. You don't need to go far. Just like the disciples when they were in the boat and the storms were raging and they were working hard to get all of the water out, they needed to go to one who was very close and wake him up. Christ, carest thou not that we perish? Where is your faith? You don't need to go into the heavens to bring Christ down, or go to the depths to bring Christ up. It's the word of faith that we preach. To give you deliverance. You can find the help and the hope and the citizenship in the kingdom of God. We, beloved, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And one of the occupations that we are to have as a body of believers and as Christ's followers is to do as he has said and have compassion on strangers, to feed them, to give them raiment. We can't even imagine what it must be like to leave everything behind, to come into a new place, and the challenges that are involved. But in a sense, we are all to have that sort of disposition towards this world, not to be too tied down, to understand and see ourselves as pilgrims, strangers in this world, but part of God's kingdom, have our citizenship there. And oh, how precious it is when we are in an unfamiliar place, when we don't know the people around, to see one familiar face or to see something that reminds us of home. Beloved, what is it that Jesus Christ has given us to remind us of our home, but the love that we have one toward another? That we would also have the longing to be home, to be at home, no longer strangers and pilgrims in this world, but at home with the Lord. Will we not be stirred by the grace and the mercy that God has shown when we are worshiping the Lord for eternity? Yes, we will. He calls us to be stirred with a humbleness of mind for the love that he had toward us, even now. May God bless his word. Amen.